You're listening to Amud V'Chazara, Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches, Erevin Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Zichru Simon for Yud Ches is the, so Yud Ches, Shmon Esrei, L'Chuppah. So it is a Chuppah. You could also remember that Yud Ches, so the Ches could also stand for Chuppah, the Ches kind of could be shaped like a Chuppah. Just don't get confused with Daf Ches. Ches is Chalas, Yud Ches is Chuppah, Shmon Esrei, L'Chuppah. The first topic is Pasei Biraos. So the discussion about the boros and beiros, wells and pits of a yachid, of a rabim, right? We meaning the new Mishnah, but also the discussion in the Gemara of the three possible opinions that we say the Mishnah is not in accordance with, and then we say no, maybe it actually is. So there are at least three different ways to understand our Mishnah. Reflecting the opinions of three different Tanayim, whether we're only the comments from Mishnah are only referring to wells, but not pits, or maybe also pits, and maybe of a rabbim, only of a yachid. So that discussion is the first piece. The second zikru point is the diumdin. So diumdin are these double boards, and we explained that dio is means two. There's two fruits, right? The diufra is like a two groups of the fruits of the certain figs coming out, the diufra, it's a Latin prefix meaning two. I don't know if maybe it's a prefix. I guess a prefix meaning two. So that's what we're talking, like a duo, right? The same word. So that whole discussion leading into the discussion of the of Adam and Chava being two partsufim back to back. So that discussion is zikr point number two. So we're going to have a chuppah, obviously. The chuppah is going to be set up, right, over a public watering hole in the ground. So you imagine, like, you know, we have the bore in the middle filled with water, and at the around it and over it there's a chuppah with diumdin, and these diumdin, these double boards that are holding up the chuppah, actually have a face of the chasen on one side and the kala on the other side. So these double boards have these two partsufim of Adam or of Anurchav, the chasen and kala. So that's what we have so far. And the third zikru point is going to be on this amud. Now turning over to you, Ches Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan. We learned in the Brisa. Now we are in the middle of a series of teachings of Rabbi Elazar. So who it is? We'll see in a moment. Yeah, Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. So this is one following up the previous teaching, which is part of what he said regarding not walking behind a woman. So now other related concept. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Brisa. Hamaratza ma'os le'isha miyado liyado. Somebody who wants for money to go to a woman from his hand to her hand. Oh, miyado liyado, or for the money to go from her hand to his hand, bishvil sheyistakel ba, because he's able to look at her, meaning he wants to do like a business interaction, like, you know, with a cashier or a female cashier or something like that. He wants to be able to, you know, he's like looking forward to or wanting to hand it to her, because then he's gonna have the opportunity to gaze at her. So afilu doma leMoshe Rabbeinu shekibel Torah mehar Sinai, even if he's similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah at Har Sinai, lo yinaka medina shel gehenim. He's not going to be cleaned away. He's not going to be pure from the din of gehenim. Meaning, if a person's trying to gaze at a woman, just to get hung up from gazing at her, from looking at her, then that is something that's inappropriate. Even if you have great credits and great merits like Moshe Rabbeinu, who got the Torah, also notice that Moshe Rabbeinu gets the Torah from the hand of our Hashem, right? That's miyado. So it's like trying to be a parallel. So let's say you're someone who received the Torah, but if you're also trying to receive from a woman because you want to gaze at her, so you get a din of Gehenim and you can't be cleansed of that. V'alava kesuv omer, and the pasuk says regarding him, this is a pasuk in Mishlei, says yad liyad lo yinakeh rav ezer tzadikim nimlat, hand to hand he won't be cleansed of evil. What do you mean hand to hand won't be cleansed of evil? So over here, yad liyad lo yinakeh rav lo yinakeh medina shel gehenim. It's referring to this case. The hand to hand is the hand to hand interaction of receiving money from a woman or handing money to a woman. That's the type where there's also inappropriate gazing taking place, and then you get Gehenim. Amar Rav Nachman, Manoach Ama Aretzaya. Rav Nachman says that Manoach was an Ama Aretz. Who was Manoach?
Not the father of Shimshon.
Right, father of Shimshon. Husband of Eshes Manoach, right? Yes, father of Shimshon. One of the final Shoftim. Before there was a king in Yisrael. So how do we know that Manoach is an Am Haaretz? Because the pasuk says, "Vayakam vayelech Manoach acharei ishto." Because Manoach got up and he walked after his wife. He went behind his wife. We mentioned earlier, right? Really, on Thursday night's Amud, that somebody who walks behind a woman, even his wife, he loses a schelik in Olam Haba, right? It's a pretty bad thing. So it looks like Manoach was an Am Haaretz. He didn't know this. Maskif lo Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak challenges this. Elameata gabe Elkanah diksiv ayelech Elkanah acharei ishto hakanami. Right. So well, then maybe you'll say the same thing about Elkanah. Elkanah, of course, is the husband of Chana and Penina, and father of Shmuel. And Elkanah was a Navi. Right. He calls him Yish Elokim. He's a sounds like a chashi of Navi. Rashi says Navi ha'yu k'detanya b'seder olam be'isha elokim. So he's a righteous person, but it says vayelech Elkanah acharei ishto. He walked by his wife. So hakanami. So maybe here too, you'd say Elkanah is also an Am Haaretz. V'gabe Elisha d'ksiv yakum vayelech acharei hakanami. Oh wow, when is this?
That wasn't his wife though.
What?
Right. That was not his own. That wasn't referring to Elisha's wife. Right.
No. That's not Elisha's wife. That's
even worse.
Right. Right. And when was this?
There were two instances.
Right, but when do we read it?
Just
Hanan Haftarah. Right? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yesterday's Haftarah, we read this. Incredible. From yesterday's Haftarah, this, right, so Elisha's walking, following after this woman. So, wow, same thing. Elisha's also doing it. So, Ella Achre Devreha Ve'etzasa. Rather, it means following after her words and her counsel. Meaning, It's not that he physically walked behind her. It's referring to like following after, like going with the Eitzah, right? We have other instances of Vayelech being such a thing. We have Vayelech outright, Vayelech Ishlevi at the beginning of Sefer Shmos in Perek Beis. So Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi, that he went, the man, right? Amram, song about Amram. He went, and Chazal say, where did he go from? Where did he go to? And it says, oh, he went with the Eitzah of his daughter. He followed the Eitzah of Miriam, who told him to get remarried. So we see such a concept of Halicha being following after her advice, but not that Elisha or Elkanah walked behind these women, whether wife or not. So Hachanami Achad Devrav Eitzasa. So here too, you can. So also for Manoach as well. You know, maybe you can't say this for Manoach. That Manoach actually did. I guess it's debatable if the Gemara is choosing a side here, whether you can learn from this that Manoach was an Am Haaretz or not. But definitely what Ravashi is about to say will be according to that opinion.
Even if that was the case, then what did you say, Elkanah?
Yeah, well, so Elkanah was also seemingly going with that advice.
Oh, okay.
Elkanah and Elisha seem to be safe. And what about Manoach? So I guess the conclusion is that you can't necessarily draw conclusions from this. Maybe you can explain. If you had a reason to defend Manoach, you could say that it's not literal, it's not physical, it's figuratively. He went with her advice. Rashi, let's take a look. Ulamayda Amar Rav Nachman. But according to what Rav Nachman said, Manoach Amar Aratoya. Meaning, if we're going to go according to that, let's take it. Lefi Pshuto, that he walked behind her, and that he's an Aretz, Afilu Beirav Nami Lo Kra. He didn't even know simple psukim that everybody knows. Right, Beirav, Rashi says, Mikra Shakorin Tinoko Shalbeis Rabban. Referring to over here, right, Tashbar, Tinoko Shalbeis Rabban, that even basic psukim that even kids have seen, Manoach didn't see. So he was like, he was really a very high level Am Haaretz. To not even know psukim in the Torah, and let's take a look at this amazing again. Diksiv, as it says in the pasuk, "Vatakam Rivka v'narosa havadirkav na'al gemalim v'telach nachareya ish," says that Rivka and her young maidens they were riding on camels, and she went behind the man. Behind which man?
Eliezer.
Which parsha?
Chayesara.
When is the Parshas Chayesara? Oh, amazing. Hashkaka practice again. Yeah. Unbelievable. Right? We just saw yesterday's Haftarah, and now we're moving forward to this week's Parsha. We had a shout-out in last week's Parsha with the Melech Sodomus, as well as last Sunday night on Rachel Aminu's Yard site. We had the Rashi about the ukuf, the saddlebags that Rachel was sitting on. It's really incredible. Baruch Hashem, signs, hopefully, a siman tov from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So anyway, she goes behind, the pasuk goes out of its way to mention that she went behind the man, v'lo lifnei ish, not in front, because, you know, that wasn't Derech Eretz. So Eliezer should walk behind her, or even ride on a camel behind her. And so therefore, says Rav Ashi, this Derech Eretz is so clear, it's a basic pasuk and a parsha that even kids know. Chayesara. So, according to Rav Nachman, even Menachem didn't even know that. Amar Biyochanan, Achare Ari, Velo Achare Isha. Better to walk behind a lion, than to walk behind a woman. Right? As dangerous as it might be, Rashi clarifies, Ishus Ish. Right? So I guess, you know, what?
All of this is an obvious Ishus Ish.
No.
So far, I think everything has been.
No, we mentioned at the top, we didn't do it tonight, but on Thursday night, we've said about Filuhi Ishto. Even if it's a woman, if it's white.
The Shana that Rashi and Tosis Choros says the reason is that one who does habitually loses his share in the world to come because this behavior will likely lead to adultery. So referring to Dafka, married woman. I'm sorry. So Rashi notes that this statement applies specifically to a married woman.
Yeah.
This is Ligabe Cholaber Achari Isha Banahar in Lo Chelak Lamahava, which is right before we started. Rashi says it's Ligabe Isha Sish.
Yeah.
So
Rashi up there. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says Benahar to Medalia Lemon of Mistaka Beishas Ishkamar. And it's talking about.
I guess because you can always. You can always marry.
Yeah.
Be over on Easter Rising.
Right, but is the person allowed to walk behind his wife? Or see his wife?
So the reason not to walk behind your wife is you shouldn't habituate. I hear what you're saying. The same logic should apply to Pinuya, because like, you shouldn't habituate to walk behind a woman, regardless of her marital status.
Right.
I think
over here, though, this is a balance of, okay, yes, I understand I'm not supposed to walk behind my, behind a Pinuya. I shouldn't. But is it better to walk behind, if I have two choices, is it better to walk behind a lion for that? To what extent do we go? I think that's what's coming.
That's an interesting point. Rashi's saying that, okay, so the Gemara is telling us not to walk behind your own wife, because it may come to walk behind.
But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says Shehu Ganai Lo. It's a Ganai for him.
Interesting.
What does that mean? Is that like a man woman etiquette from the times of the Gemara and perhaps in the time of Rashi as well? Is that something else that from people who look at it, or because maybe it's this, maybe it's that. He's gazing at his own wife. That's mutter. You're allowed to gaze at your own wife. Yeah, but you're walking in the streets. You shouldn't be gazing. Even that, yeah, you're right. It's not a violation of Losh Shrach Levchem Vechrei Nechem. But it's your right. Like, that's not appropriate. So maybe that's the Gnai that we're talking about over here. But over here, when we say that, and maybe a man is allowed to look at a penuya that you might consider marrying, not to get the hana, but you might consider marrying, and are you supposed to be walking behind her? Because it seems to be, I don't know, but when it comes to a lion, so let's say the other option is a lion, you could probably walk behind your wife, it's fine, you could probably walk behind a penuya, but in Eishes Ish, says Rashi, even that, better to walk behind her than a lion.
I might argue that Chayvaham tells you that with a lion, it's
well, if this is borderline Gilur Arayos, so then, you know, V'chai B'hem doesn't apply to that, right? If this is Abizrayo de Arayos, you're going to be looking at an Eishes Ish.
This one is more, is closer to a Vari.
Oh, this is that's a beautiful pshat. Thank you. You just gave a good pshat. Why is it appropriate? Why is it when it comes to my wife?
It's a hungry lion.
If it's my wife, or if it's a Penuya, then in those situations, this is not Abizrayo de Arayos. It's not a subcategory of Gilui Arayos. It's my wife, okay? It's not so appropriate in public. Right. It's a penuya, okay? It's not so appropriate that I should be seen like this. But Lamaisa, I'm not, like, there's no real serious Isser here. So I'm not going to do something dangerous, like go behind a lion instead. But when it comes to Eishes Ish, to me standing behind and walking behind an Eishes Ish, this is a subcategory of Gilui Arayos, and therefore then better to be Giloy Arayos with an Aleph and follow the lion than Giloy Arayos with an Ayin and follow behind this woman. So maybe, and I don't know if this is a halacha or this is just an exaggerated hyperbolic statement of Chazal. It could be a halacha, but if it is halacha, what are you talking about? What about V'chai Behem? So the answer is no. This is one of the Gimel Chamuros. It's a subcategory of the Gimel Chamuros.
So I was basically telling us that if one habituates himself to do certain things, it's ultimately going to...
I didn't say anything about habituation. Not in Rashi. Okay. I didn't say that in habituation. Okay. Let's go weiter.
It's Tosus in the Chorot. Yeah. Rachos says it though.
Right. So if you remember, we learned... So some of these Gemaras have actually repeated for herself from Brachos Samach Aleph, the whole discussion about back to back Adam and Chava, and this also was there. Maybe was this on around Vav? I don't know. I don't remember if it was around Vav, but there's some comments coming up that we'll definitely remember. Hopefully for Brachos, or I guess Avi, that's for you. You're with us for Brachos. So let's go weiter. Let's talk about Rivka. Okay, Rivka is there. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Achrei Riva Lo Achrei Isha. Better to walk behind a lion than a woman. Achrei Isha Lo Achrei Avodas Kochavim. But if it's between a woman and Avodas Kochavim, then that's also Avodas Kochavim is better to follow after. Or sorry, it's worse to follow after. What it means, it sounds like literally to physically go after it, because I guess you're right. Shrach says Shemi Moshech Achrei. Maybe you'll be drawn after it. And you're supposed to, and we have a pasuk that tells us to distance ourselves from avodah zara. So that's really a problem. But achari avodas kochavim v'lo achari beis haknesses b'shashim espalin. But it's better to walk behind avodah zara and a woman, a married woman, and a lion, than to walk behind a beis haknesses when at the time it's davening. Rashi says because if it's time for mincha and you walk right past that shul. So, or time for shachar, so whatever it is, you walk past that shul, people will look, they'll say, oh, this guy's a kofar, and it's a big chilul Hashem, and it's worse than all these three things. Again, is this halachic, then it's actually better to be all behind all those things, or hyperbolic, I'm not sure, but it is brought down the halacha, this concept of not walking past the shul when it's time for a minyan, though the post can bring down, even the Shulchan Aruch, that if there are other minyanim in town, might not be a problem, right? You can always go to the avas, or whatever it is. So may not be a problem, but that we did see in the Sefer Brachos. Yirmiya ben Elazar, another teaching of Yirmiya ben Elazar. Kol osan hashanim shaya adam arishon benidoy holin holid ruchin. Okay, so all those years that Adam arishon was in excommunication, meaning after he was kicked out of the gan after eating from the tree. So all those years. Holid, he fathered Ruchin Vishidin Vililin. Almost don't want to say these words because some of them, you know, some try not to say. But he brought into the world spirits and Shindalids, demons, and this last one seems to be like a lashon of Lila. You might have heard of the name that I've been told not to say, Lamed Yud Saf, or in English, L-I-L.
Is it really Indian not to say it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was discussing this with actually,
yeah.
Oh, not the Benassi.
Well, I'm just going to spell it out, just L-I-L-I-T-H, that English name. Yeah, what were you saying?
I was actually discussing the Rekho, not that I'm not saying it.
Yeah.
Actually, I wasn't aware of that, but in terms of the question that Yishmael created this person as a counterpart to Adam, so actually it was three people initially.
Which person? Chava or
no, well, okay. This female demon. Time. And we also had this individual, so you actually had three people. Adam and Chava together, and a separate female entity.
Well,
at the same time. It's kind of interesting, dynamic.
I don't know when she was made.
It would seemingly be unnecessary why Chava and this other separate entity coexisted. Because the whole point is that it didn't work out having two separate entities, so therefore it became necessary to have Adam and Chava.
Well, no. When did the demons were the demons created? When were they created?
On
the second day of creation.
Let me misunderstand that she was. That she was created.
The demons
as
might have been created earlier. I'm not sure if they were created.
She was created as an equal to Adam, but she was too haughty or whatnot.
I'm not sure. But over here, it's using it in a plural language. That there's a lot of them, right? So it looks like it's like night demons or female demons. Right. I've always understood it to be that there's one demon woman, but it looks like over here the lashon is she didn't be Lilin. So it looks like it's these I assume milashon Lila night these night demons or female night demons. But anyway, what happened? So he was you know, bringing into being these things. Shenemar vayichi adam shloshim umeas shana vayod ben Musa kitzamo. And vayichi, right, Adam was 130 years old, and he gave birth to something in his dmus and his tselem. So at 130 years old, he gave something to birth in his dmus and his tselem, in his image and in his image. Nichlal da'ad ha'idna, which implies that up until this point, lal kitzama olid, he gave birth to things or fathered things that were not quite his image exactly, like these ruchin shidin vililin. So, that's what seems to be over there. May sveg, but we're challenging this. Hayer meyer omer adam arishon chassid gadol haya. Adam arishon was a big chassid, massive chassid, right? Strive, pay, the whole deal. Hayer kivin shirosh and nikmasa misa al yado. That once he saw that there was a knas, they were punished with death, meaning world, humanity was punished with death because of him. Yoshev betanis. He sat in a fast, Me'u Shloshim Shana, that's a really long fast, 130 years, Uperish Min Isha, separated from his wife, Me'u Shloshim Shana, Ve'hala Zarze Te'enim Al Besaro, and he put the zarzim of figs on his flesh. Rashi says the zarzims of figs are Chaguros Mitargminan Zarazin, right? So belts of figs on his flesh, Me'u Shloshim Shana.
So, what? It's a self-flagellation, in other words.
Yeah.
I thought that was a Galatian concept. Oh, anyway.
Yeah. All right, so he afflicted. Well, I guess what does it mean that these things of figs were on? What was the purpose of that? Was the purpose to punish himself with these figs that were painful and uncomfortable? Was it a reminder of the sin, because the sin was done from according to one opinion in the Gemara and Brachos Daf Mem, that it was done with fig leaves? It was done from a fig tree, so it's a reminder of the sin. It's a belt around his waist. Is that reminding him of some sort of chastity, which would actually connect to not you know, separating from his wife? Which also, so I mean, why was he fasting, and why is he separating from his wife? So he's fasting because the avera was done regarding eating, right? He ate, and he's separating from his wife. It could be for two reasons. It could be because his wife told him to do it, so he's saying, okay, my wife tells me to do bad things, so I separate from her. Or it could be that also, as I think some Kabbalistic sources indicate, that that's part of the avera, there was some bia involved in this avera as well. Which is interesting. So it could be that's part of this. But anyway, yeah. So I don't know the exact role of the fig leaves. Is it right? Like, you know, inflicting himself with suffering, or a reminder, or part of the thing that helps encourage a separation and chastity. I'm not sure. So bottom line is that it seems that he was a big chassid, and he's fasting, and it sounds like he said, like, well, wouldn't it make sense for him to be, you know, mating with all these other weird forces and bringing in these other weird children into the world? Is that something that he should be doing? You'd expect me doing. So Gemara says, "Ki kamrina nahu b'shichva zera dechaza l'unse." It's referring to shichva zera that he saw through ones, right? Meaning other zera that came out of him that was not intentionally done, and I guess these forces took his zera itself, not through relations with Adam, but just took it separately, became impregnated, and brought out these spirits into the world.
Whatever. Well, let's not get into that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Another teacher, Rabbi Ben Elazar, we should say, right, this is a famous memory of Chazal, that you only say miksa shivcha b'fanav, that you only say part of someone's praise in front of them, you don't say the whole thing, right? Rashi says, Rashi tells why. Derech eretzu shafal pi shadam mishabeach es chaveiro shelo b'fanav harbe. A person, even though it's derech eretzu for a person to praise his friend, you shouldn't do it in front of him so much. Emar b'shivach levanav b'pnei shenira kimechanif. Looks like you're flattering him, right? If you overdo it, so it looks like you're trying to flatter him, you're trying to get something out of him. So better just, you know, keep it humble, and then it's not overdone. Look like flattery. Could be also, we don't want the guy to be flattered too much. We don't want the guy to become arrogant. We say everything in front of him. So anyway, that's the rule. So and bring a source. So mitzvah shivcha amrim b'fanav v'kulo shalom b'fanav mitzvah shivcha b'fanav. Where do we see that? Diksiv ot ki osacha reisa sadik lifnei b'dor lifanai b'dor as a. So that, right. So Hashem says to Noach himself, he says, "I see that you are a tzaddik. And Noach should be thinking, a tzaddik? That's only half of my praise. Well, because we see earlier, kulo shelo b'fanav shdiksev Noach ish tzaddik tamim hu hayah b'dorasav. When Hashem talks to us in the Chumash, so Hashem says, oh, let me tell you about Noach. He is a tzaddik tamim b'dorasav. Tzaddik tamim. But when he talks to Noach himself, he says, oh, Noach, you're a tzaddik. Only half his praise, not in front of him. The Amar, Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, teaching Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, my dixtiv hine ala zayis taraf befiha, right, says, and behold, there was a olive branch in its mouth. There was like snatched in its mouth. Right, talking about the dove that would return to Yonah. Amra Yonah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar teaches this teaching that the Yonah said, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbono Shalom, you mezonosai merurin kizayis, mesurin biyadacha, v'ad yu mesukin kidvash, v'tuluyin biyad basar adam. It says, Hashem, I'd rather my mezonos, my parnasa, be bitter like an olive, but I get it from you, rather than sweet like honey, but I get it from this human. Noah. K'siv hacha taraf, k'siv hasam hachrifeni lechem kuki. How do we know that? So, because it says over here Taraf, and it says in a different pasuk. This pasuk is in Mishle, that like Hatshifeni lechem chuki, have my like a portion for me, my portion of bread. So we see that it's a lashon of providing food. So Taraf over here should be interpreted. This pasuk should be reread. Mihine ala zayis Taraf befiha, that and behold, the olive branch should be the food in its mouth, as opposed to whatever else he had. He had been feeding it, rather get an olive branch from Hashem. Remember, Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, kol bayis shenishman bo divrei Torah belayla shuv eino nechrav. Any house that has in it divrei Torah at night will no longer be destroyed. Shnemar, velo amar aye eloka osai, no saints miros belayla. Because this is a pasuk in Iyov, right? That he should not say, where is God who made me? Who's not going to say this? The one who gives Zmiros at night.
And this is not referring to like some like Tikkun Chatzos or
what?
Is it like Stam learning at night or like as opposed to like Tikkun Chatzos?
Well, the Zmiros that we're talking about seems to be Torah, right? That's Yirmiyah ben Elazar teaches it as Torah, Divrei Torah Balayla, right? This is actually a line. I don't know if anybody who says Hamavdi ben Kodesh Lachol. So you know Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lachol, it's a Motzei Shabbos piyut. So there's a one of the stanzas is based on this pasuk over here. Rashi says, what's the chiddush of teaching at night? So lo hatzurach lehis onin, a person won't have to grieve and say, where is God? You're not going to have to say that. Ayosav areni charav and be destroyed. Why? One who's giving zmiros shel Torah balayla. Right, that at night, because it's more quiet, so the voice of Torah is heard even more, and it's more beautiful, and it's like Zmiros, right? We know also Torah is considered a Shira, right? So it's like these Zmiros at night. So someone who does this Torah at night, it's so beautiful that they're not going to have to say, where is Hashem? Help me, because they're going to not have any korban. They're going to have only bracha from this Torah at night. There's other mafarshim speak about what the godless of Torah at night, and there's something special to it. He's Isa Yom Malayla. Something special about nighttime learning, night seder.
There's some cool bias is love that has me. The bias, like if you clean shul and it's matters late, that's probably equally common.
Could be. Okay. Vamar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar miyom shachar beis hamikdash diola olam shish tamish b'shtei osios, that from the time that the beis hamikdash was destroyed, it's enough for the world to use two letters meaning of Hashem's name. Shneimar we're going to see kol neshama talel ka haluka. Every soul will praise ka yud k instead of yud k vav k haluka. So. Rashi says, the reason for this is that the two letter name Ka is used outside of the base of Mikdash, and inside of the base of Mikdash they use the Shem Mavorash Yud Kevav Ke, and therefore, when the base of Mikdash was destroyed, no one's using the four letter name of Hashem anymore. Right, so the Yud Kei Vav Kei and also the Shem Mefurash, which has 42 letters, these are only for the base of Mikdash. Now, there's interesting Tosfos over here, very short Tosfos. Kol Neshama, Perish Rabbeinu Chananel Kare Be Hanishama Bedagesh or Hanishama Bedagesh. He says it's with a dagesh. So I looked at Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel explains that Nishama is like a lashon of desolation. So it's called Hanishama when the Beis Hamikdash is desolate, is destroyed, and Yerushalayim is desolate. That's when you use the Yud Kei Vav Kei. I was thinking of a pshat maybe that you can connect to the two teachings ago of Rabbi Ben Elazar is that. What do we see over here? That this is that when we're in the Beis Hamikdash, we're in Hashem's presence. We're befunov, right? If we're befunov, so we don't say. So maybe it's actually the opposite. Yeah, the opposite doesn't make sense. I was gonna try to suggest that it's we say this, or maybe it's an opposite of when it comes to Hashem. When we're in His presence, we say kulo shivcho. We say yudke vavke. But when we're not in front of Him, we say miktsa shivcho. We say half of it because we only say yud k instead of yud k vav k. So it's the opposite when it comes to humans. When it comes to humans, we're talking about our friends. So then we say only in their presence. We mix hashivcha, and it's the opposite by Hashem. Okay, final teaching for the night. Rama Rabbi Yemiya ben Elazar niskala be bavel niskalu shchina niskala shomra shcheinaha. Right, sorry, not shchina. That when Bavel was cursed. So its neighbors were cursed as well. Shomron, but the Shomron is baruch hu shchenaha. When Shomron was cursed, niskal above niskalu shchenaha. Niskal Shomron nis baruch hu shchenaha. But when the Shomron was cursed, the Shomron was like the primary base of the Aseres Shvatim. So right, Samaria. So when the Shomron was cursed, the neighbors benefited, they were blessed. So let's see how that is. Niskala Bavel Niskalu Shina Hadiksiv Visamtiho Lamorash Kipod Vadme Mayim that it's gonna be like inherited, I guess, by Kipod. So I don't think it's porcupine, I think it means some chayos roos, some like bad animals that come here, and Agme Mayim and swamps. Rashi says the oila rush of oila shino. Right, going to Gemara and Sukkah, that woe is to Bavel, woe is to its neighbors that suffer like this. That it's, you know, it meaning it's bad for everybody if this place is destroyed. But then it brings all these bad animals, so it's bad to be the neighbors as well. However, this call is Shomron. This Baruch Shchinah, Dichsiv V'Samti Shomron La'i Hasode Le'Matei Kerem, when the Shomron is you know placed in a situation where it's destroyed, so the field becomes Mate Karim. It's a good place to plant a vineyard. Rashi says Ve'anu Shchenaha V'Shavachu La Shenis Keres Latova, and so it's the neighbors benefit from it. And it's a praise, so like they benefit because the you know. Or Rashi says and it's Shavachula. It's a praise that it should be remembered for good. That's very interesting. It's very interesting that it's better. Shomron is like it sounds like it's a better thing than Bavel. It's a good thing that the neighbors benefit. So at least remember, oh, good. The good things about Shomron, as opposed to good things or bad things about Bavel.
Not quite following good things about Shomron in terms of what?
Yeah, meaning that when the Shomron is destroyed, at least the neighbors get to benefit from it. Right. So at least the neighbors are saying, oh, Shomron, good news. I mean, it's blessed. Right?
Not when it was. They're not remembering what it was before.
Just that when people say Shomron, they shouldn't think destruction and desolation. They say, "Oh, good place for planting." So it's like a hidden bracha over here. Okay, so the third zikru point is, remember what it was? Oh, a mixa shivcha, right? Half of praise b'fanav, mixa shivcha b'fanav. So I think I'll just tweak it a little bit how he does it. He says that on the chuppah there are like signs like there had half the praises of the chasam kala. But I think it would be more interactive if you have you have the chuppah over there with the well or the water hole, and it's being held up by four diumdin with faces of the chasam and kala on the double boards, and the diumdin, the double boards, is a chasam and kala, and the people are praising and are praising the chasam and kala. But when the chasam and kala start walking down, then they only cut the praises in half, right? Like, wow, the chasam and kala are the most amazing people, and then when the chasam and kala walk in, oh, you guys are pretty good. So they change the tone because the only mixas shivcha b'fanav. So again, there's three points. Yud ches, so it's pasibi rose, the watering hole, the well, the the Rabbim, of the Yachid, that whole discussion, the Diyum Din are double boards, because Diyum means double, just like the two parts Sufim, according to one opinion of Adam and Chava, because there's the two faces on the Diyum Din of the Chasen and Kala, and then everyone's praising the Chasen and Kala tremendously until they walk into the room, and then they cut it to half the praise.